The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Jeremy Sampson from WILX TV will be joining us in about 15 minutes talking about high school basketball playoffs. They are into the regionals out of the district, so we will talk with Jeremy about that. Also, Ken Pomeroy from KenPom.com will be with us to talk about his ranking system in college basketball. Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News will be with us to talk about Michigan State basketball. And Michael A. Race from the Columbus Dispatch will be with us at 9:30 to talk about what's going on with this Jim Tressel situation at Ohio State. And that's where we are going to take this segment, Scott. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton with Scott Eckersley here. And we're talking about Jim Tressel and this whole Ohio State situation. And for those of you who don't know, for those of you who didn't tune into SportsCenter or anything all week, okay, what's going on basically is Jim Tressel, who back in December suspended a couple of Ohio State players for selling their memorabilia to a tattoo parlor in exchange for tattoos, which is an NCAA violation. Now, nobody knew of this at the time, or so we thought. And so, Ohio State suspended these guys for 5 games this season. Now, part of that was Jim Tressel made them promise that they were going to come back this year. If they didn't, they weren't allowed to play in the Sugar Bowl. But ultimately, as we know, they played in the Sugar Bowl. They won the Sugar Bowl. Basically, every player that would have been suspended was a big part of the reason they won the Sugar Bowl this year. And so, we thought that was the end of it. Well, now we realize that it is not the end of it. And Yahoo Sports was the first to catch up on this, was there were some email exchanges back in April between Jim Tressel and a lawyer who tipped Jim Tressel to the fact that two of his players, Devere Posey and Terrell Pryor, were a part of this tattoo parlor situation. He was tipped to it in April, and he didn't report it. Didn't say anything to anybody, and just kept it to himself. And then when the NCAA rolled around in December, he even signed an agreement saying that he cooperated to the best of his ability. He didn't know that it was happening. And now it's come out that it was happening. Now, Scott, I find this all a little interesting with Jim Tressel. And I find just a little bit too much going on pattern-wise between him and what happened at Youngstown State with a player getting cars and money and things of that nature, and him not knowing anything then and claiming not to know anything now. It seems to me Jim Tressel is a little bit of a problem with just kind of ignoring rules violations.
Well, there's something to be said. It seems like that everybody in the NCAA is trying to play ignorance as a reason for why they're doing the things they did. It wasn't the original reason they were allowed to play the five players, because they weren't properly educated. That's why the suspension, they were waiting until next year, because we can properly re-educate them now.
Yes, and that brings us to our next point, because we have audio from Jim Tressel's press conference in December, directly after the NCAA was made aware of what was going on with these players. And this is what Tressel had to say to what the NCAA did.
I think ultimately we as coaches feel as if the buck stops here. You know, we're the ones that need to make things even more crystal clear than when a compliance officer might spend time with our team or an outside speaker or whatever it happens to be. The bottom line is that that we feel as if that's our responsibility.
Interesting. So it's your responsibility to tell them all of the details, to make sure that they have all the details, that they understand it. Wouldn't that mean that you need to understand all the details of everything going on? Because the bottom line is, the audio that he says now, here this week, says the opposite, that he himself was not prepared.
I probably, or definitely, didn't move forward with this information to anyone, simply because in my mind I couldn't think as to who that best would be.
So he didn't know who he was supposed to go to, yet he claims in December that it's his responsibility to know the rules, and it's his responsibility to make sure his players know the rules of what's going on. And what's even funnier, Scott, is that he goes on to say in this press conference this week is that they're going to use this, or no, I'm sorry, he said this in December, that they were going to use this as a teaching moment for these players, and as a teaching moment to say, we are going to teach these guys on how to be model citizens. By teaching moment, did you mean letting them play in spring practice? And by teaching moment, did you mean letting them get away with what they were doing and playing all the games last season? Is that what he meant by teaching moment?
Well, that was 101. Now this is 201.
Okay.
This is the second time around.
There are three things that bother me about this whole situation. Okay, and the reason they bother me is because a lot of times when teams get caught with NCAA sanctions, they say that it's not a big deal because it affects that school and that school alone. Well, I look at this situation with Ohio State, and it affects more than just Ohio State. Okay, the fact that these players were not suspended and were able to play last year, especially because Jim Tressel knew about it, affects a lot of things. Number one, and something East Lansing should be affected by more than anybody, it robbed Michigan State of the right to go to the Rose Bowl last year. Now, as you explained to me, Scott, they still would have gotten the same payout because of the way the Big Ten is with their money. But going to the Rose Bowl and playing TCU compared to going to the Capital One Bowl and playing Alabama is a huge difference. Don't you agree?
Yes. Even if they would have gotten hammered in the Rose Bowl, that's still the Rose Bowl. That's much better than getting hammered in the Capital One Bowl. And then you can say, yeah, you got a partial Big Ten title, but when you can sit, when you have that Rose Bowl patch, when you have anything Rose Bowl affiliated, that to me signifies
you're the Big Ten champion.
Exactly.
And technically, they would have been the Big Ten champion. I mean, they would have beaten the only team tied with them, which makes them the outright Big Ten championship in my mind. So they hurt Michigan State's team. Okay, they hurt Michigan State's potential future and potential for growth because they were not able to go to the Rose Bowl. They hurt Arkansas. As we all know, they hurt Arkansas because Arkansas had to play them in the Sugar Bowl and ended up losing. How about this one? Okay, this is how far down this branch. It may have cost Randy Shannon his job at Miami. Now stick with me here for a second. Okay, Randy Shannon plays Ohio State early in the year. Okay, in that game that Ohio State won, Pryor had 346 total yards rushing and passing and two touchdowns. Heron, who's another guy who was suspended, had another touchdown. Posey had 105 receiving yards. Okay? If those players aren't playing in that game, Miami wins that game against Ohio State. And if Miami wins that game against Ohio State, they don't finish the season 7-6. That's a program-building win. If you can go to the Big Ten champions, win on the road at Ohio State, one of the toughest places to play in the country, okay? That, to me, means that Randy Shannon's job would have been safe because they would have won that game, they would have made a run in the ACC, and he would have been fine. So this is trickling down to where it's not just hurting Ohio State players and Ohio State coaches. It's hurting other programs, it's hurting other people and costing people their jobs.
The biggest thing that I have with this is I've never been a huge Sherrell Pryor fan. I don't think he's a great quarterback. And why is Jim Tressel going through all of this trouble for him? I mean, yeah, there's a couple other guys thrown in, but really, it's Sherrell Pryor. You go back to the thing that I hate, National Signing Day. You put these guys on a pedestal, these high school 17, 18-year-olds, and give them the spotlight. And he said, no, I'm going to wait. And then even when it wasn't, he said, the University of Ohio State. Because he wanted people to think he was saying the University of Michigan.
Right.
And any guy who does that, I just don't care for because he's a diva, first and foremost. And he hasn't been that promising since he's been there. Is he worth all of this trouble?
Well, and that gets me into this next point, which is, you know, to a certain extent, I don't think he was worth it. And I think to a certain extent, Jim Tressel tried to throw him under the bus. Tried to throw all these players under the bus. Here's where I'm coming with this. He got this warning back in April. Now, he let it go, okay? But when it came out, let's look at Bruce Pearl. Okay, when Bruce Pearl got in trouble with the NCAA, he realized that he had done wrong, and he came out and he said, I screwed up, okay? I messed up. It's my fault. I screwed up. When these players got in trouble, Jim Tressel didn't come forward and say, you know what? I was warned about this. I messed up. I should have brought it to the authorities. I didn't realize it was going to be this big of a deal. But no, he sat on national television on press conferences and said, I appreciate the way Ohio State handled this. I think our people did all that they could to make sure that this was handled in a correct way. And he basically threw his players under the bus and said that they were all in the wrongdoing and he had nothing to do with it. He knew nothing about it. So to me, that is the same situation with the Maurice Clarett situation, which was, you're telling me he didn't know Clarett was getting cars. He didn't know Clarett was getting money and things of that nature. And when Clarett got caught, when Clarett got in trouble, he threw him under the bus and claimed he had no idea. So to me, that says that he didn't care about Pryor. He cared about the program, cared about winning. But as soon as his player got in trouble, okay, he threw him under the bus. And that, to me, that's very concerning. If I'm Ohio State, I'm not happy about that at all. And if I'm a future recruit, I'm thinking to myself, why would I want to go play for this guy who cares more about his image than his players and is willing to throw us under the bus in a heartbeat?
That's a great point, because you got to figure the players are going to be gone in 4 years. Nothing's probably going to happen. Even if it does, it comes back to that player. Look at a little bit different, but Reggie Bush.
Yep.
That affects USC some, but Pete Carroll's doing just fine.
Pete Carroll's doing just fine. Reggie Bush is doing just fine. Yeah,
exactly.
I lost his Heisman Trophy. I think he can buy a new one with the contract that he got with the New Orleans Saints.
Right, so Jim Tressel figures, I'm going to be here for a little while longer than 4 years. I've got more guys who are coming in. And you're exactly right, where he's almost treating them as if they're expendable.
Yeah, well, it's not almost. They are expendable. He looked at the situation and said, I'm just going to cut these guys loose. Now, I'm not saying they're not at fault here, okay? They're the idiots who sold their memorabilia to a tattoo parlor for tattoos, okay? They're the morons
claiming
who got into this situation.
They didn't know that was
claiming they didn't
compliance.
Know. But to say that Jim Tressel couldn't have called them out on it, couldn't have informed the NCAA, couldn't have done something to take some sort of pressure off his players like a good head coach would do, like a responsible head coach who actually cares about his players. Okay, he could have done something. He could have called him out, even calling him and saying, hey man, you know, we've got to talk about this internally. To me, looking at the emails, reading the emails, I don't even think he handled it internally.
No, and how, one of the big things, how can you possibly think this isn't going to go anywhere? That nothing's going to happen with it? There's so many things that are out there. It's not a private thing. I mean, a tattoo parlor. Why
emails.
Would they even care? Yeah,
emails.
Yeah, because those aren't traceable.
The
you click
best
delete
part,
and it's gone.
I think the funniest part about this whole situation, you know how they recovered the emails? They didn't recover the emails because they were investigating Jim Tressel.
Trash folder.
They were coming up. They were bringing up emails as a mandatory check on emails all sent during the whole Big Ten expansion thing. Okay, there was a report coming out. They wanted to make public all the situations that went through with the Big Ten expansion, and so they were looking for emails having to do with the Big Ten expansion. Okay, it wasn't a conspiracy or anything. They just were trying to make it public file how the Big Ten expansion came about and who was involved. But instead, they recovered these emails from Jim Tressel, and all of a sudden, they were like, uh-oh, Jim Tressel knew for a long time. And if you're going to tell me also, okay, and we're going to talk about this next hour if we talk to Jeremy Sampson, Tressel claims that he was asked by the lawyer who gave him this information for confidentiality. But the situation is that if you look at the emails, okay, the dates are about 2 weeks apart from the first email where Tressel said, all right, I'll get on it, and the second email where the lawyer asks for confidentiality.
The worst part is Tressel responded to the email and made that confirmation that I have seen this. I understand what it says. It's not as if he can say, oh, well, I get so many emails, I can't possibly open all of them. He opened it, read it, responded to the man.
Yeah, and this whole situation, it's just a huge mess for Ohio State, and it's bad news because from what I see, they are going to support Jim Tressel to the end, and I think that is going to hurt their program. I think the NCAA is going to come down with a hammer, and I want to talk more in the 9 o'clock hour about this and the punishment that was given to Jim Tressel, because the fact that he only got 2 games when the guys that he hung out to drive got 5 games, and the fact that he's only getting fined $250,000, to me, that's just a slap on the wrist. That's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. We'll talk about that more at 9 o'clock. Coming up next, though, we'll talk some high school basketball. Jeremy Sampson from WILX TV will be with us talking regionals and districts. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.